Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is all about pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from PetsRadar.com, New York Times, Catster Magazine Online, Cornell Dog Watch, and Dogster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article from PetsRadar.com by Adam England titled, "These 10 Household Items Could Harm Your Pets This Fall." And number 6 is surprising. Keep your furry friends safe during the last few months of the year. Fall can be an exciting time for our pets. While the thrill of having more company over than summer break might be over, the cooler weather and darker evenings mean that we might feel like spending more time indoors with our furry friends. But as much as our pets may enjoy fall, it's always fun to be looking at the best Halloween costumes for cats and dogs. The season does bring with it some dangers to be aware of. Some of the regular household items we use throughout the fall can be harmful to our pets. And pet insurance provider Waggle has outlined its top 10 household items to be aware of. Let's take a look. Number 1, candles and air fresheners. Many popular autumn candles are made from paraffin wax, which can release harmful toxins into the air when burned, says Waggle CEO Andrew Leal. These include benzene, acetaldehyde, toluene, formaldehyde, and acrolein. Animals are often more sensitive to these than humans due to their smaller size and faster metabolism. Synthetic fragrances and oils can harm our pets too, with many culprits being popular fall scents like eucalyptus, clove, and pine. 2, toxic flowers and plants. A lot of popular fall houseplants like chrysanthemums can be harmful or even poisonous to pets when ingested. Check before you buy. To help you get through Christmas and beyond, you can look up holiday plants that are poisonous to pets. Number 3, cleaning products. It might sound obvious, but it's worth remembering to keep your cleaning products stored safely away, particularly this time of year when you might be dealing with muddy footprints and wet clothes. 4, human medication. Even simple over-the-counter painkillers could be harmful if pets if they ingest them, so it's best to keep them in a cupboard or drawer. 5, chocolate. With Halloween approaching, be extra cautious about keeping candy securely out of reach, says Leal. With Christmas on the horizon, this is well worth remembering. 6, cooked bones. While you might want to share healthy, warming fall meals with your pet, cooked bones can splinter and cause injury to them. 7, open trash cans. Keep your trash secured, particularly if there's any food waste or anything that could be harmful. 8, seasonal decorations. Leal explains, as people start to decorate for autumn, they should be mindful of dangling cords and small ornaments that pet might chew on or swallow. It's best to keep these out of reach. 9, insecticides and rodenticides. You might find yourself using more pest control products as the weather gets colder, so ensure they're pet safe and stored safely. And finally, 10, essential oils. People often enjoy using essential oils in the fall and winter, but they can be toxic to pets when ingested or even inhaled, so it's best to be careful and use them sparingly. Next, we'll move on to an article from the New York Times titled "The Cost of Caring for Pets" by Katie Thomas. We explain the changing world of pet health care. Pets these days are just like us. They get birthday cakes, daycare, and rubber boots to wear in the snow. Their health care is becoming more human, too, for better and for worse. Decades ago, animal care was relatively rudimentary. Veterinarians usually owned their own clinics, and the option to treat a sick or injured pet were limited. Today, animal hospitals are equipped with expensive magnetic resonance imaging machines, round-the-clock critical care units, and teams of specialists in cancer, cardiology, and neurology. For pets and the people who love them, the advances are welcome. But as animals' health care has changed to more closely resemble our own, it has also taken on some of the problems of the human system, including the biggest one, cost. The price of veterinary care has soared more than 60% over the past decade, outpacing inflation. Private equity firms have snapped up hundreds of independent clinics, in a trend reminiscent of corporate roll-ups of doctors' offices. Veterinarians around the country told me that they worry this is changing the way they practice, as they faced growing pressure to push costly treatments and order more tests. The change landscape means that even as veterinarians can do more for dogs and cats than ever, pet owners face sometimes heartbreaking decisions about whether they can afford the care. Changes in the industry. About 1/4 of primary care clinics and 3/4 of specialty clinics are owned by corporations, according to Breakay Consulting, which focuses on the animal health industry. Sometimes the corporate ownership is not obvious. Many pet equity firms do not change the name of the vet clinic when they take it over. Most veterinarians are paid, at least in part, based on how much money they bring into a practice, whether it is by ordering tests, selling prescription dog food, or performing procedures. One veterinarian said she quit her job after she was told her cost per client was too low. Another said she was told she needed to see 21 animals a day, about a half a dozen more than her current workload. Other veterinarians said the pressure had no influence on the care they provided. In interviews, they said they bore the brunt of pet owners' complaints, even when they have little to do with setting prices. Veterinarians make far less money than doctors for humans and are often in debt from years of education. Prices have gone up partly because of the rising costs of drugs, vaccines, and other supplies, as well as worker salaries and a tight labor market. One veterinarian I interviewed, Dr. Pam Nichols of South Jordan, Utah, has seen the transformation firsthand. When she was starting out in the 1990s, she said she used to sneak dachshunds into the human hospital where her father was a radiologist to give them MRI scans. If a dog needed surgery, the bill would be about $2,000. Now she said a similar dog might get an MRI and a CT scan and will probably be operated on by a specialist who is assisted by several nurses. The cost could reach $10,000. Tough choices for owners. Veterinary care differs from human healthcare in one big way. Most pet owners pay out of their own pocket and in full before leaving the vet's office. While pet insurance is available, only a small percentage of pet owners have it. A generation ago, pet owners with a seriously ill animal may have had little choice but to opt for euthanasia if they wanted to relieve their pet's suffering. Now they must choose between extending the animal's life or getting into what might be debilitating debt or letting an animal die. I spoke to some pet owners who were still paying off credit card debts years after their animals had died. An animal welfare group said owners frequently relinquished their pets to shelters because they couldn't afford veterinary bills. For many people, though, the sacrifices are worth it. That was the case for Claire Kirsch, who was earning less than $10 an hour as a veterinary tech in Georgia when her own dog and her horse Gambit each had medical emergencies, resulting in bills that totaled more than $13,000. The animals would have died if she had not opted for additional care. She took a higher-paying job, maxed out her credit card, and tapped into her husband's retirement account to pay off the debt. "I knew I would never be able to forgive myself if we didn't try," she said. Next, we'll move on to another article from the New York Times titled, "Their Job is to Help You Grieve Your Pet," by Katie Thomas. Though still rare, social workers in animal hospitals are growing in their ranks. Amy Conroy sat alone in a veterinary exam room, hands clutching a water bottle, eyes blinking back tears. Her 16-year-old cat, Liesl, had been having trouble breathing. Now she was waiting for an update. The door opened and Lori Maxwell came in. Miss Maxwell works for MedVet, a 24-hour emergency veterinary hospital in Chicago. But when she took a seat opposite Miss Conroy on a Monday evening in May, she explained that she wasn't there for the cat. She was there for Miss Conroy. Miss Maxwell is a veterinary social worker, a job in a little-known corner of the therapy world that focuses on easing the stress, worry, and grief that can arise when a pet needs medical care. Pets no longer exist at the periphery of the human family. To take one example, a survey in 2022 found that almost half of Americans sleep with an animal in their bed. As that relationship has intensified, so has the stress when something goes wrong. Those emotions can spill over at animal hospitals, where social workers can help pet owners work through difficult choices, such as whether to euthanize a pet or whether they can afford to pay thousands of dollars for care. Though still rare, social workers in animal hospitals are growing in their ranks. Large chains like VCA are beginning to employ them, as are major academic veterinary hospitals. The service is typically offered for free. About 175 people have earned a certification in veterinary social work from the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, which is a center for the field. Miss Maxwell, who supervises the work of 5 social workers at 5 MedVet locations, also helps out on busy shifts. In the room with Miss Conroy, Liesl's owner, Miss Maxwell posed one of her go-to questions. "What role does she play in your life?" Miss Conroy smiled. "This is terrible to say, because I've had other cats," she said, "but she's going to be my favorite cat I ever had." Ms. Conroy said that when she brought Liesl home from the shelter in 2010, the cat was so fearful that it took 2 years before Ms. Conroy could even touch her. Now the two are closely bonded. I have social anxiety, and it can be pretty debilitating at times, Ms. Conroy told Maxwell. I kind of feel like she has a social anxiety. We share that, you know? Your soul cat, Miss Maxwell said. I think that's a once-in-a-lifetime cat. Down the hall and around the corner, Danny Aboud, a social work student, sat on the floor to speak to Gloria Raines, her 11-year-old son, Yasriel, and her 8-year-old granddaughter, Yana. They're visiting Sassy, their 12-year-old pit bull, who was experiencing critical complications from a bladder surgery. Where were you earlier, Miss Reyes? Asked Miss Aboud with a laugh. Hours before, she had to struggle whether to euthanize Sassy or to admit her for a second surgery. If I didn't see life in her eyes, then maybe, she said, I can't put her down. You know what's in your heart, Miss Aboud said. The social worker's main job is to tend to pet owners, but the veterinarians and techs, essentially nurses, say that it helps them too. I used to go home and generally wonder what happened to a client, says Dr. Amy Huberger, head of MedVet's Chicago Emergency Department. Now she said, I can take care of more animals in a shift because I know that the clients are still getting taken care of. Elizabeth Strand, the director of University of Tennessee's Veterinary Social Work Program, said that having a therapist on staff was becoming a selling point for attracting vets and other workers. The industry is a high-stress field, and suicide rates among vets are higher than average. After leaving Ms. Reyes and her children, M.X. Aboud, who uses they-them pronouns, turned their attention to Evrim Topol, who they had been helping earlier in the day. Ms. Topol had brought in her family dog, Zorro, a 16-year-old cockapoo, because he was having trouble breathing. An exam revealed that Zorro's condition was not going to improve. M.X. Aboud joined Ms. Topol in a comfort room, which reserves for euthanasians. Ms. Topol said her feelings had been in a jumble when she first arrived. I don't think I was prepared to make this decision, she said, but after talking it through, she felt at peace. A few minutes later, an assistant wheeled Zorro in on a cart. Plastic Max delivered oxygen. She scooped Zorro onto her lap while M.X. Aboud moved the oxygen tubes so she could breathe easier. Está bien, Ms. Topol whispered to Zorro. After Ms. Topol spent some time alone with Zorro, she rang a bell to let the staff know that she was ready. Dr. Huberger joined M.X. Aboud in the room. Thank you guys for being here, Ms. Topol said. Dr. Huberger knelt on the floor and administered the lethal medications. After a few seconds, Zorro's breathing stopped. Next, we'll move on to catster.com. We'll start with an article titled, Why Do Cats Rub Their Faces on Corners? Five Vet Verified Reasons, written by Jessica Kim. Cats often engage in behaviors that leave us feeling puzzled or confused. Even though we might find them to be strange, many of these behaviors are normal for cats. New cat owners may be surprised by just how much their cats will rub their faces against corners, objects, and even people. However, this action is a common feline behavior, and you don't usually have to be alarmed by it. While it's not completely certain why cats will rub their cheeks against corners, cat behaviorists and experts do share a few common speculations. Here are a few possible reasons why your cat may rub their face on corners. Number 1. Marking territory. One of the most widely accepted theories for cats rubbing their faces on corners is that they're leaving their scent on objects. Cats use scents to communicate, and they have scent glands located around their cheeks. When cats rub their faces on objects, they leave behind a scent that other cats can detect. Cats can pick up information about other cats when they sniff these scents. Cats may tend to prefer rubbing their cheeks against corners because corners provide the best grip for them. Rubbing their faces against flat walls can be more difficult, so they'll usually opt for wall and furniture corners. 2. Greeting. It's common for cats to greet each other by rubbing their faces. This behavior enables them to exchange scents and learn more about each other. If your cat starts to feel comfortable and likes you, they can start to rub their cheeks against you as soon as you return home to them. You can take this as a sign that your cat is greeting you and wanting to let you know that they like that you're home. It's important to note that not all cats will engage in this behavior with humans, so you don't have to be concerned if your cat doesn't rub their cheeks against you. They're probably showing you love and affection through other means and expressions. 3. Wanting attention. Cats are observant animals and are quick to know what sorts of behaviors grab your attention. Therefore, if you have a habit of giving your cat attention when they rub against you, they're more likely to continue this behavior. This behavior is reinforced each time you acknowledge your cat when they rub their face against you. Consequently, many cats will start to rub their cheeks against their owners when they're bored, hungry, or feeling lonely. 4. Showing affection. Your cat may also rub their cheeks against you as a means of showing affection. Similar to marking territory, cats leave their scent on people by rubbing their cheeks against them. Rather than seeing it as possessiveness, you can receive this behavior as a compliment. Cats won't rub their cheeks against people they don't trust or don't like, so you can take it as a sign that your cat likes you and sees you as one of their own if they start to rub their cheeks against you. 5. Stress relief. The act of rubbing faces against something often feels comforting and relaxing for cats, so they may engage in this behavior when they want to relax or self-soothe. Sometimes cats will begin to rub their faces against something when they're feeling stressed or anxious and want to calm down. Cats also usually start to rub their cheeks against things when they're settled and feel comfortable in a home. In this context, you can take this behavior as a good sign that indicates your cat acknowledges that your home is also their home. Is it bad if my cat rubs their faces on everything? While rubbing faces on objects and people is common behavior in cats, there are some causes wherein it can indicate an underlying problem. Sometimes rubbing faces can become a compulsive behavior, which is usually caused by a disease or mental health issue. For example, cats can start to rub their faces and press their head against things repeatedly when they have trauma to the head or nervous system, encephalitis, or tumors. Cats may also resort to compulsive head pressing if they're under a lot of stress or have anxiety. Compulsive behavior of this sort is often accompanied by other signs. Your cat may also display increased pacing or circling. They may also become disoriented or lack coordination. Sometimes you might notice sudden changes in mood or behavior. If you suspect that your cat's behavior is abnormal, it's best to contact your veterinarian right away for a physical examination. Your veterinarian can diagnose the cause of the behavior and provide the appropriate treatment. Conclusion. For the most part, you don't have to worry if your cat is rubbing their face against corners and other objects. In fact, you can take it as a compliment if your cat starts to rub their cheeks against you. If you do notice that your cat is starting to rub their face against things more frequently or notice other changes in their behavior, don't hesitate to consult your veterinarian to determine what's causing these changes. Next, we'll move on to an article titled, How to Tell Cat Gender by Face, 3 Vet-Approved Ways by Chantel Fowler. Male and female cats can have physical and behavioral differences. Additionally, each faces its own unique health challenges, which can make it essential to know what sex you're adopting. The only 100% reliable way of knowing a cat's sex is by looking at their genitals, but some subtle differences in their facial structure may be able to provide insight. The 3 ways to tell a cat's gender by their face. 1. Head shape. Males, especially unneutered ones, have large, rounded heads with angular facial structures. Their broader faces are due to hormones, namely testosterone. Testosterone is a major factor in muscle development and stimulates the release of growth hormones, which contribute to bone density and growth. Females will generally have a softer facial shape and more delicate features. 2. Jowls and snout. Intact males in particular have very prominent jowls, sometimes adoringly referred to as tomcat cheeks, due to a presence of testosterone. A tomcat's chubby cheeks are more than just a cute facial feature. They can also protect their face and neck during fights. Their snouts can also be longer and broader than females. And finally, whiskers. Cats use their whiskers to learn more about their world. Brushing whiskers against objects provides information about the object's size and texture. Cats' whiskers come in handy when they're trying to gauge whether they can fit into tight spaces. So it makes sense that male whiskers would be longer simply because they're larger than females. Intact adult males often have larger whisker pads than their female counterparts, adding volume to their face and giving a softer appearance. Next, we'll move on to an article in Cornell Dog Watch titled, Help for Noise-Sensitive Dogs. Masking Sounds Can Help Disguise Scary Sounds, by Pamela J. Perry. Many dogs respond dramatically to loud or sudden noises, and some are extremely fearful of these sounds. If your dog suffers from noise sensitivity, you can implement some simple strategies as part of your management plan. The simplest thing you can do yourself is to help your dog stay calm is to mask the scary noises. Pamela J. Perry, DVM, PhD, behavior resident at Cornell University's College of Veterinary Medicine, recommends playing classical music, leaving the television on, or using a white noise machine. All of these options provide a base layer of sound so that any loud or sudden noises are less obvious to your dog. You can also dampen your dog's hearing directly. Muffs are commercially available during available hearing protection designed for dogs that reduce loud sounds, says Dr. Perry. Closing your dog in a quiet room away from the hubbub or covering his crate with a blanket can also help in some scenarios. Whichever method or methods you choose to try with your dog, it is best to have them in a place before your dog becomes upset. Plan ahead. If construction on your street starts around 8 a.m., turn the television on at 7:30. If it's 4th of July weekend, play music all day and all night and put your dog's mutt muffs on right before a fireworks display is scheduled to start. Music selections. Studies have found that music, especially classical, can be calming for dogs, says Dr. Perry. There are even CDs and playlists designed specifically for canine ears. I honestly don't have much experience with music specifically designed for dogs, although there is a study by Snowden that supports species-appropriate music use for cats, says Dr. Perry. That said, there's a lot of individual preference, so some dogs may enjoy music specifically designed for their species. A sample of made-for-dogs music is a great place to start to see if your dog enjoys it and is calmer. But you can also try using different genres of music or radio stations that you frequently listen to and enjoy while spending time with your dog. If you ever met someone who competes in musical freestyle, aka dancing with your dog, they will tell you that their dogs often help to choose which song to dance to. The most important thing is that your dog is not bothered by the music or other white noise that you choose to use. Individual preferences vary, so whatever type of music, talk radio, or television show your dog seems to prefer is fine to use. Just be sure to not play it too loudly, says Dr. Perry. Extra help. If your dog becomes extremely distressed by unusual or loud noises, masking those sounds may not provide complete relief. Keeping your dog away from the scary sounds is the ideal solution when possible. For example, if your house is being renovated, your dog may be happier staying with a friend. On holidays that typically feature fireworks, take a trip to a quiet spot that is away from chaotic festivities. If something spooks your dog on a walk, cross the street and head away from the noise. Unfortunately, noise can't always be avoided. You can try to distract your dog by giving him a tasty chew or puzzle toy loaded with special treats. It's even better if the snack only comes out when noisy relatives are visiting or a thunderstorm is starting. By giving your dog something scrumptious when loud noises occur, over time you may be able to condition him to have a more positive response to these noises. Play is another great distraction method. Engage your dog in a game or review some easy tricks that he knows well so that he has something fun to focus on. You can, of course, combine treats, play, and training with playing some calming music or a television show. Whatever distracts and occupies your dog during the scary noises is just fine. Consider medication. There are two main classes of anti-anxiety medication, situational and maintenance. Situational medications are a good fit for dogs who only experience severe noise sensitivity for specific events, such as fireworks, thunderstorms, or construction. You can give the medication before an anticipated trigger occurs to help your dog ride it out. Maintenance medications are for dogs who experience chronic noise sensitivity and are stressed out about everyday sounds. These medications are given every day to help your dog stay calm and enjoy the world more. Now we'll move on to an article by Nicole Cosgrove on Dogster.com titled, How to Contact a Vet During a Hurricane, 5 Tips for Immediate Support. If you find yourself on the direct path of a hurricane and are simultaneously making decisions about your furry family members who may need veterinary assistance, we're here to help. These types of storms often require evacuation or taking refuge in interior rooms within your house. But to make this process easier for you, we'll explore 5 ways to ensure your pets can continue to be taken care of if you find yourself hunkering down in the middle of one of these storms. Need a vet advice now? If you need veterinary advice for your pet now, we recommend Pango Vet's Televet service. You can have a video consultation with a real veterinarian from the comfort of wherever you are, no travel needed. Pango Vet's vets can provide you with personalized care and advice and hopefully ease your mind during a difficult time. Please note they do not offer prescriptions and are not for emergencies. 5 tips on how you can talk with a vet during a hurricane. Number 1, evacuate to a safe region where you can access vet assistance. If there are evacuation orders in place, it is in you and your furry friend's best interest to take these seriously and evacuate to a safe region of your country. This is especially true should your pet be elderly, chronically ill, or suffer from severe anxiety and storms. In preparation for evacuation, pack your pet's crate, 2 weeks to 1 month's worth of food, several gallons of water, a first aid kit, your pet's caller ID, leash and collar, their paperwork and vaccine information, any medication your pet is on, a recent photo of your pet. There are pet-friendly hotels and hosted accommodation options across the world. And during hurricanes, you can check with your local civil defense website for help for designated shelters outside the hurricane strike zone. From there, go ahead with the following instructions as best you can. 1. Contact your regular vet. Let them know your evacuation plan. See if they have any recommendations for a short-term emergency vet in the area you're evacuating to. And inquire about processes regarding your pet's medical records. Contact your chosen emergency vet and then book an appointment to create a plan with your emergency vet. And then be sure to contact your regular vet to let them know contact details of the emergency vet, just in case. 2. Discuss options with your vet before taking refuge. In the scenario where you're taking refuge at home rather than evacuating, you can always contact your vet prior to the hurricane making landfall to discuss options. Your vet should have a well-prepared communication plan in place to keep you informed about the clinic status, emergency contacts, and any changes in service availability. Most vets will utilize a diverse range of communication strategies during these times, such as social media, text messaging, or phone calls, to ensure there are regular updates. Many vets also have access to patient clinical notes in a cloud-based system and should continue to have access to your pest notes during this time as long as internet and power access remains intact. Your regular vet can provide the most personalized advice and broadest remote medical care possible in these situations. 3. Contact a televet service. If you have access to cell service or the internet but can't contact your regular vet in a hurricane situation, a trusted televet service is a fantastic option to speak with a professional and get personalized help when you need it, not having to travel again in the storm. 4. Portable satellite internet. Portable satellite Wi-Fi internet hotspots are a fantastic solution whether you're evacuating or taking refuge. These small devices can travel with you and keep you connected to Wi-Fi via satellites on your phone or laptop should cellular connectivity be inaccessible. Conclusion. You never know if you'll find yourself in the firing line of a next hurricane or not, so we recommend that if you live near water, ensure you have a plan, communicate with your vet should your pet have a chronic illness, allergies, or severe anxiety, and know your communication strategy should internet or phone capacities in your area be unavailable. Most importantly, if there's an evacuation order placed in your area, act early and take your pets with you if at all possible. Remember, televets are a click away, and with the magic of modern technology, you and your furry friends should be in a great position to ride out any storm with ongoing support from professionals should you need it. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available at a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.